Father, we thank you that you're here right now. I feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit as I stepped up here after that song. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord, that you are moving. Take your word right now, Lord, and let it become alive to us. Alive. The word of God is living and powerful, the Bible says. Sharper than a two-edged sword. Lord, the word can go right down into our and divide our soul from our spirit. Father, the word of God brings faith into our hearts. So powerful. Lord, I want to declare today that I'm ready for all that you want to pour into me. Hallelujah. Give me everything you've got, Lord, in the next 45 minutes from your word, and let it change my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1. I want to start this series on the authority of the believer. Are you a believer in Jesus today? Hallelujah. Then you have authority that you may not have tapped into yet. In my last series, I taught on being led by the Spirit. Then we talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But this is going to go right along with it. And I find that many believers are not walking in the authority that Jesus has called us to walk in. If we understood it and had a revelation of it, the devil would be afraid of you instead of you afraid of him. And you'd be running after him. Hallelujah. And so I'm going to teach you about this authority. It's been a blessing to me just studying it. And for some of you that have been believers for many years, it'll be things you've heard before, but I believe some things in the Word of God are worth repeating over and over again. And then there are many of you that maybe you're a new Christian. You've never heard some of what I'm going to share. It'll help you to walk in strength and authority that Jesus has called you to walk in. Ephesians chapter 1, we've been teaching the interns about prayer. And I don't have time to teach on all of Ephesians chapter 1 today. But with the interns and our staff, we have studied Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 3, and Colossians chapter 1. Because they are all prayers that Paul prayed for the church that you can take and you can pray for yourself. In Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to read one of these prayers right now. Ephesians 1, starting in verse 16. This is Paul talking to the Ephesian church, telling them what he's praying for them. Look what it says. I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now he tells them what he's praying. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. We're going to look at that verse closely in a moment. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. Hallelujah. How many believe today in Jesus? Amen. It says that there's exceeding greatness of his power toward you. Hallelujah. Boy, we've been learning about that this summer with our staff and interns. That word power is dunamis, and it means miraculous power. It specifically means that there's power in you to do miracles. Hallelujah. What is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. Well, I wish I had time to teach on all this, but maybe we'll get to it all in the series. I don't know if you caught that, but that power is at work in you. Everybody say, his power is in me. Then it tells you specifically what that power is, and it says that God the Father used that same power when he raised Jesus from the dead. The greatest miracle in all the Bible is when Jesus was raised from the depths of hell alive again. Amen. And the Bible says that same power is in you. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. That ought to get you excited. I guess some of you are dead. Amen. But some are excited. Verse 21. Read verse 20 again. Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him. Where is Christ seated? Seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. So where is Christ seated? At the right hand of the Father in heavenly places. And then look what it says in verse 21. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion. That's talking about demon spirits. Principalities are demon spirits. Evil works of wicked spirits, mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6, are demon spirits. These things, the Bible says that Jesus has been seated in heavenly places far above all of them. Amen. And every name that is named, not only in this age, but also which is to come. And he put, now look at this, we're going to look at this in detail in a little bit, but look at this. Get it in your spirit. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Paul the apostle prayed this for the Ephesians. You can take this prayer. I would say I do this almost every day. Not every day, but nearly every day. I pray Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 through 23, and then actually I go into Ephesians chapter 2, but I pray this over my own life. And everywhere where Paul uses the word you or your, he says, I pray that God may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. I pray it for myself. Lord, I thank you that you give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. I thank you that the eyes of my understanding are open. Amen. I pray these verses over myself. Now, I want you to notice one of the things that we can pray in verse 17, which will help many of us if we were to pray just verse 17 every day, would help us. And let's read that verse again. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Boy, do we need wisdom, revelation, and knowledge in many areas. Many areas. But where do we get wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of God? Where do we get it? From the Word of God. So this is a great verse for you to pray just before you open your Bible to help you understand it. Say, Lord, I pray what Paul prayed for the Ephesians, I pray it for myself. Lord, when I open up the Bible today, I thank you, you give me a spirit of wisdom, a spirit of revelation in the knowledge of you. Hallelujah. Open my eyes, open my understanding to the Word of God. Now, how many know that God can do that in any area of Scripture? But what we are going to look at over the next several weeks is one specific area where I believe the church needs a greater revelation, and that's why I'm preaching on it. And we need a revelation of who we are in Christ, or more specifically, the authority of the believer. The authority of the believer. Everybody say, I'm a believer, and I have authority. Now, I want to say some things that may shake your religious tradition up a little bit, but I want you to listen to me. Jesus was fully God. And he was also fully man. You say, how is that possible? I don't know. God did it. Amen. Only God could do it. He wasn't 50-50. He was 100% man and 100% God. He was human. And when he lived on this earth, he had limitations that went along with his humanity. Are you here? When Jesus did a miracle, he did not do the miracle out of his divinity. He did the miracle by the gifts of the Holy Spirit in his humanity. And so when we read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we say, well, of course Jesus raised the dead. He was God. Yes, but when he operated in his earthly ministry, He was human with limitations and relied on seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, because there are nine, but two of them were not yet released, the gift of tongues and interpretation. So seven gifts of the Holy Spirit he relied on to work the miracles that he did. And then before Jesus ascended to his Father, he said, "It is better that I go away, that the Holy Spirit would come." And he said, "Greater works shall you do because I go to my Father." Hallelujah. So Jesus expects us to heal the sick. As a matter of fact, I'm going to teach you some things here today. Some of you are going to have a hard time wrapping your mind around it over the next several weeks. But technically, Jesus doesn't heal the sick. We do. You know, one thing that bothers me is when God uses somebody and then they say, "Well, it was all the Lord." No, it wasn't. That's false humility. See, it's quiet in this Baptist gathering. Amen. Yes, it's true that I can't heal anybody. That's true. I lay hands on the sick. Jesus helps me by the power of the Holy Spirit. That dunamis power that is in me gets released into that person. But Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." Technically, Jesus can't preach the gospel to people or heal the sick without us. Amen. For some of you, my last statement bothered you, but let me put it to you this way. Jesus can't heal the sick without you. He expects us to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, preach the gospel. Jesus does not go and preach the gospel. He wants us to go and preach. It'd be easier if he did it. He wouldn't need an airplane ticket to India. We got to raise the money, get on the plane, and go. And go preach the gospel in a village. Why doesn't Jesus just do it? Because you're going to see in this series that he cannot do it. He's given you the authority. He's given his church the authority. And as long as we sit back, listen, some of you have the mentality, "Oh, the Lord will send a revival when he wants to." He wanted to long time ago. Long time ago. So what's he waiting on? You? Me? Amen? Why are we seeing kids get healed at Kids Club this year? Because we're laying hands on them. We've laid hands on and prayed for kids before. We've seen God do miracles. But we're making an extra point to be a bit more aggressive about it. And we're believing God that God's going to start healing adults this week at Kids Club. Amen. I feel it. I'm believing God for deaf ear to open up in one of those neighborhoods where we have half the crowd are Muslim kids. Hallelujah. And if God just heals one deaf ear, amen, imagine what'll happen. But we have to operate in the authority that Jesus has called us to walk in. Are y'all here? Amen. And that's important. Now, Jesus needed to pray. If Jesus operated in his divinity, he would not have to get to alone with the Father and pray. He needed to pray. Jesus, here's a good one. This will be worth you coming today. What I'm about to say is worth a second offering. Get ready. Amen. Jesus did not possess more divine power than is available to you. Let me say it again. Jesus did not possess more divine power than is available to you. So what's the difference? What's the difference? Jesus knew what belonged to him, and he knew his authority. Many Christians do not know their authority, and therefore they do not use their authority. But Jesus has delegated authority to us. It is not enough, though, that he has delegated that authority. We must know what belongs to us. You've got to know it to use it. Amen. You've got to know it to use it. Now go to Ephesians chapter 6. We're in Ephesians chapter 1. Just flip over a few pages or take your Bible app and go to chapter 6. We're going to go back to chapter 1 in a minute, but we're going to use a lot of scripture. Is that all right? Amen. Go through the Bible, see what the Bible says. Ephesians 6, verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. Where is Jesus seated? Above all these things. Amen. Above them. Against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So although we wrestle against these things, and you're going to see in this series that the devil does have power. He does have an element of power. And we can't just brush off some things and just act like they're not there. The devil has been in Buffalo since it was founded. I don't have time to get into it today, but we've been studying, digging, trying to identify the principalities and powers that rule over our city. Part of our city was founded on satanic worship. People don't know that. And there's a spirit of false religion, and it creeps in even into the church. That's where you get that religious spirit in the church. And so it's important to understand that there is a power of the enemy that we have to come against. We do have to bind up evil spirits. We do have a war. The Bible doesn't say we wrestle not, period. It says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Your battle's not with a human being. Your battle is in the spiritual forces of wickedness. That's where your battle is. And we have to use our authority in that arena. And the authority I'm going to teach you today is a true possession of every child of God. Not just a select few, not just the pastor, not just Ted Shuttlesworth when he comes next week, or whoever you look up to as a spiritual giant or whatever. The authority I'm going to teach you about is for every believer in Jesus. Amen. There is no reason the devil should even have an inch in your family. There is no reason why you should live one more day sick in your body. There is no reason at all. Say, well, why do we live there, Pastor? Why are so many of us living below where God wants us to live? I believe we can trace a lot of it back, not all of it, but a lot of it back to just simply not understanding the authority that Jesus delegated to us. You have authority, and if the devil can keep that authority a mystery to you, then he can walk all over you. But as soon as you have a revelation of it, hallelujah. The Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The word flee means to run in terror. Hallelujah. When's the last time the devil ran in terror from you? Amen. I'm telling you, I want the devil running from me. Praise God. And it's only going to happen if we understand our authority. Praise God. Now, go to, where are you? Are you in Ephesians 1 or Ephesians 6? All right. Yeah, go back to Ephesians 1. Praise God. I don't even know where I am. Amen. Ephesians 1. Now let's go back a little bit more before this prayer that Paul prayed into verse 3. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, not who will, who has is past tense, amen, who has blessed some people, no, who has blessed us, that you, amen. If you didn't know, you are in us, hallelujah, all right? He has blessed us with what? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. In other words, if you are in Christ, a born-again believer, all spiritual blessing belongs to you. Amen. Belongs to you, all of it. Sometimes we say things like, wow, man, he is especially blessed by God. But in reality, that is a false statement. We are all blessed. Hallelujah. We are all blessed with every spiritual blessing. You're blessed. Everybody say, I'm blessed. Hallelujah. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing. Nobody has a corner on the blessing of God. The difference is that some are living in it and enjoying it, and others are not. What we need is a knowledge of what God has blessed us with, an understanding of it, a revelation of it, but then to take it one more step further than that is to act upon it. So I need to know, I need to have a revelation. Lord, give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Open up my eyes of understanding to the authority that I have in Christ. That's the prayer that we're praying during this series. And as God opens our eyes, then and we begin to understand and get a revelation of who we are, then we need to act upon it. Authority belongs to all the children of God. But the devil doesn't want you walking in authority, so he makes the authority obscure. He knows that once you discover and understand your authority, you'll be walking in victory over him every day. And he doesn't want you to walk in victory over him. So he's going to keep that authority just kind of obscure, just kind of mysterious. You know, there are some of you, listen, there are some people in this room that have never uttered the words, devil, get out of my house in Jesus' name. You've never done it. You've never done it. Why? Because you have no revelation of the authority. Authority needs to come out of your spirit through your mouth. You need to speak words over your family. And if the devil is in your marriage, then you need to speak words over, you need to tell the devil to get out of your marriage. If your children are sick, you need to tell the devil to get off of their body in the name of Jesus. You need to start to exercise your authority. If you're having panic attacks, you don't need the latest book on how to cope, 12 steps to cope with your panic attack. You need to learn how to use your authority and tell that spirit of fear to get off of your mind in Jesus' name. But you've got to do it. You've got to say it. There's some people that never have. They've never actually uttered those words. Devil, get out of my house. Get off of my family in Jesus' name. I command you to leave me alone. You need to begin to learn how to exercise your authority. And it comes with an understanding and a revelation of who you are and the authority that you have. Hallelujah. Praise God. I think we're going to be on a journey the next few weeks to learn this. Amen. And you're going to see some change. You're going to see some change in your family. You're going to see some change. Have you ever got out your bank statement and just spoke the word of God over it? I have. You know, my wife and I are still old-fashioned. We record everything in the check register. We don't rely on the app and the thing. We use the apps and things. I just learned a few months ago how to make a mobile deposit. Very cool. Didn't really work with $100 bills, though. I tried. No, I'm just kidding. All right. But but we still record everything. And sometimes you look at the balance and it might, well, then if it scares you a little bit, put it down on the table. Speak the word of God over your finances. If you're a tither, if you're a giver, you have authority in that area. You have authority. You have something to stand on. You're in a covenant with God. And there's no way if you're a tither and you're giving your offering that the devil should be meddling in your finances. So tell that spirit of poverty to get out of your family. Use the authority that God has given you. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. I think the devil's going to be scared of some folks here the next few weeks. Amen. So, man, I wish they wouldn't have gone to church today. Praise God. But you're here. Amen. And you're learning. John chapter 8. Let me just read you a couple of verses. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6 again, and I'm just going to read a couple of verses. Now, you know what? I don't know where I want to go. Go to Luke chapter 10. Go to Luke chapter 10. I'm trying to decide what to skip over, what I want you to read, what we just want to throw up there on the screen because I got so much. But go to Luke chapter 10 because this is a key verse. And before I read that verse, we're going to do, and I'm probably, Amanda's probably like, what do you want me to put on the screen? Thank God for all those patient people working with me back there. Amen. John chapter 8:32. Let's put that up there first. John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So knowing the truth is not enough to be free. Knowing the truth and acting on the truth. You shall know the truth. There's a lot of people that know, have heard truth. They heard truth. They know it. But they never act on it. So we need to know it. We need to act on it. We need to put it into practice. Now, let's put up Luke 10:19. Here's a key pivotal verse in our teaching. Luke 10:19. Behold, this is Jesus. I give you the authority. That's a good translation. That's the New King James. The King James says power, but the word authority is better. I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. Now, how many realize that that's not talking about literal serpents and scorpions? Maybe you didn't know that. All right. I'm going to help you today. It's talking about demon spirits. It's talking about the enemy, the works of the enemy. All right? So I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So I want you to see something here. The enemy has power. Right? If you're here teaching that the enemy has no power, he does. He does have power, but we have authority over his power. Amen? And it says, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, I want to give you an illustration of what it means to have authority. What does it mean to have authority? If you're driving in a part of the city, and like this time of year, there's a lot of construction, different things going on, but say you're approaching an accident that happened and the ambulance is there and the fire department's there and the police are there, and the police have to direct traffic through that intersection, and you pull up and that policeman puts his hand out for you to stop. What are you going to do? You're going to stop. Why are you going to stop? Not because he has power to make you stop. He can't make you stop. If you wanted to, you could plow him right over. That little policeman, you know, he has no power to make you stop. But he has authority to make you stop. And so you recognize his uniform, his badge, his police car is there, his other police buddies are standing around. And so when he says stop, you're going to stop. Then when he waves you on, then you can go on. That is authority. Did you know that the devil also recognizes authority? And we have authority to stand our ground against the devil. There is no reason for the devil to have me on the run. He should be running from me. The policeman, let's go back to the policeman a minute now. That policeman is telling people to stop. He's telling people to go. He's directing people through the intersection where the accident happened. Where did that policeman get his authority? It was delegated to him. He went through police training. Did all that he did to get to the point that he was, and that authority was not something that he was born with. That authority came to him as it was delegated to him. And that's the definition of authority, is delegated power. Delegated power. See, you have no power in yourself, but your big brother, Jesus, delegated power and authority to you. He gave it. It came from the Father to Jesus, and then Jesus turned around and delegated that power to you. So that's the kind of authority that you walk in. Now go to Ephesians chapter 6. Hallelujah. I'm going to take a few more minutes. How many are getting something out of this today? Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. All right. Now let's go here to verse 10. And it says, finally, My brethren means the Christians, all right? So if you're a Christian here, this verse is for you. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Notice this does not say to be strong in your own strength. We're supposed to be strong in the Lord. Now, how can you be strong in the Lord? Because you have delegated power. That power is in Him, but He gave it to you. That power is in Him, but He imparted it to you. That's the authority that you walk in. And listen, the value of authority depends upon the power that's behind it. Let me say that again. The value of the authority depends on the power that's behind it. Why do you stop for that little policeman who has no power within himself to actually stop traffic? But why do you slam on the brakes if he puts his hand up? Because you recognize his authority, but there's a power behind his authority, and that's called the full weight of the law. So if you decide, I'm just going to run this guy over, you're in trouble. You're in trouble because the authority that he has a power that backs him up. Now, let's just switch that scenario for a minute. Let's just say one of us decides, you know what, I'm just going to go and direct traffic today. I'm going to go to the busiest intersection in Western New York is Sheridan and Niagara Falls Boulevard. So I'm going to go to Sheridan and Niagara Falls Boulevard, just stand in the middle of that traffic. I'm just going to put my hand up and see what people do. You go ahead. You go ahead and see. What? So, well, why don't they obey me like they obey the policeman? Because you have no badge, you have no uniform, you have no authority backing you up. And Jesus said in Luke 10, verse 19, behold, I give you authority to travel on, to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. If a believer has to be conscious of two things. Listen, get this in your heart today. If you're conscious of these two things, you can face any enemy without fear. Number one is you have a divine power behind you. You have a divine power behind you. And number two, that authority has been delegated to you. Power backs you up, and authority has been delegated to you. If you will have a revelation of this, you will face any enemy that comes against you without any fear at all. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 4. Let's turn there. I feel a teaching anointing. Amen. I said, Lord, give us a... Before I came here today, I said, Lord, let it just come out revelational. Let it be revelation. Let the light bulb go off. Amen. In people's minds. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Who's them? That he's talking about here. He's talking about, if we took the time today to read verses 1, 2, and 3, it's talking about demon spirits. If you read those verses, he's talking about evil spirits, the works of Satan, demonic forces. So it says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, the works of Satan, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Now, we've heard this verse before, but I have a question for you. Why is this verse true? Why is this verse true? Because Jesus lives in you, and he's already overcome the devil. He's already won the victory over the devil. And so that authority is in you. Amen? That authority is in you. Now, go to Matthew 28. There's a few things I want to get in here before I give up and close the service, because there's a couple things I want you to walk away with. So go to Matthew 28, verse 18. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now, here Jesus said that he has the authority. Now, in Ephesians, and we're going to go back there here again in a minute, but in Ephesians, we learn that Jesus is the head. Is Jesus the head? Who's the body? We are, right? Jesus is the head, and we are the body. And Jesus has delegated power to us. He's given authority to us. So let me put this out to you today, something to think about. The authority that Jesus has given us must be activated through the body, not the head. Let me take it one step further. The only authority Jesus has on this earth is through his body. I'll say it again. The only authority Jesus has on this earth is through his body. The only authority Jesus has in Buffalo is through his body. Jesus is not going to go to kids club and blow bubbles with a kid. He's not going to do it. Because the head relies on the body to influence and bring authority and bring change. Jesus is not going to just go to Grant Street and preach. Now, I know we've heard stories of Jesus appearing to people and preaching, and that is not normal. It does happen, but it's not normal. The body has to go and exercise authority over on Grant Street. Let me ask you this. How much authority can your head exercise apart from your body? None. If you cut off your head right now, I mean, what would your body do? What would your head do? The head needs the body needs the head. And everything the head wants to do, it needs the body for. The head just can't go do anything all on its own. The head needs the body. Are you all here? Now go to Ephesians chapter 1. Let's pull all this together the best we can. Hallelujah. I'm giving you steak and potatoes today. Amen. Hallelujah. This is something to really chew on. Amen. The Word of God. Ephesians 1, verse 22. Ephesians 1, 22. Now look at this. And he, that's Jesus, or the Father, and he put all things under his feet. All things are under where? His feet. And he gave him to be head over all things to the church. This is what we got to understand. Don't miss this. Jesus is the head. But who are the feet? Not Jesus. Have you ever seen feet growing out of a head? I hope not. If they do, they need healing. Amen. We're the feet. We're the feet. The feet are a part of the body. He's given everything to the head, but the head has put all things under his feet, the body. That speaks of authority. All things are under the feet is the body. It's you. Folks, the devil is under us. We have authority over him. Hallelujah. Did you know it is inappropriate for if the devil attacks your family for you to go and pray this prayer, Jesus, oh Jesus, help my family and set us free. He cannot answer that prayer. Some of you are like, really? That's how I pray all the time. That's why you're defeated. That's why you're not living in victory. Well, my old pastor taught me to pray that way. And yeah, that's why you're not there right now and you're here. Amen. Thank God. Thank God you got out of that mess. Oh, Lord Jesus, I'm sick in my body. Just take this sickness away. Jesus must be scratching his head because he can't even answer your prayer. And he's full of compassion and love and mercy, and he probably wants to answer your prayer, but he can't answer your prayer. You know why? He's the head. And he's given authority to the body. And so when sickness comes against your body, you have the authority to evict sickness and disease from your body. You have the authority. Man. You know, some people are going to come here Sunday night because they need a miracle, and we thank God for that. We do. But we wouldn't have to have meetings like this in the church if the church understood their authority. We'd have meetings with Ted Shuttlesworth just for the sinners. But unfortunately, most people that need healing are right in the church. And I'm not beating anybody up. I'm not throwing stones at people. Listen, like, I've struggled it was sickness in my body before too. I'm not judging anybody. I'm just saying that we have the authority. We have the authority in Jesus' name to speak to the things that are attacking our family, our marriage, our finances, our body, this city. I believe in praying, Lord, send a revival. But I also believe in the name of Jesus, I come against that false god. I come against that. I come against that demonic spirit in Jesus' name. I bind that spirit right now in the name of Jesus. I understand that I have authority over the devil. And so if we would begin to walk in it and begin to live in it, we would see some of the things we want to see in our lives. But he's put all things under his feet means you and me. Verse 20. We're almost done. Look at your neighbor, say, he's almost done. Hallelujah. All right. Not too many people said it. Amen. Ephesians 1, verse 20. It says, which he worked in Christ. Ephesians 1, verse 20. We're going backwards now. Look at it. Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. So where is Christ seated? At the right hand of the Father. The right hand, we don't have time to dig into it today, but it speaks of a place of authority and power on the right hand. All right? Now, go to Ephesians chapter 2. Here we are, pulling it together right here. Ephesians 2, verse 5. Speaking of us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. And now look at verse 6. This is powerful. If you will get this in your spirit, if you will get a revelation of it, if you will meditate on this verse, the devil will be running from you. Get this verse. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I don't know if you understand what we just read. I want to tell you what's in the mind of God right now. In the mind of God, when Jesus was made alive, you were made alive. And in the mind of God, when Jesus was raised from the dead and seated by the right hand of the Father, you were raised from the dead and seated at the right hand of the Father in the mind of God. This is something that is hard to grasp. It's hard to wrap your mind around. It's hard to comprehend. You've just got to accept it by faith as a spiritual truth that God looks at you seated at his right hand with Christ. And we read in Ephesians chapter 1 that Christ was seated at the right hand of the Father, far above all principality and power and ruler of wickedness, far above them. And so that means that's where you are seated. You are seated far above all principality and power. Listen, when you come against the devil, you come to him from a place of authority. You're not asking him, hey, Mr. Devil, please leave my family alone. He's going to hang out. You're going to hang out. He's going to move right in with a prayer like that. No. Say, devil, I have authority over you in Jesus' name. And you command him to get your hands off your life. You command him with the authority that Jesus has given you. Listen, this is not something God is going to do. This is something that God already did. The right hand denotes a place of authority, and you are seated with him. Amen. And all the powers of Satan understand this. They know this, and they've been keeping it from the believer. So because if we would just understand this and walk in this, we would have complete victory. Amen. Listen, one of the reasons I pray this prayer over my life over almost every day is because I like to go to prayer from that place of authority. Hallelujah. I like to do warfare from that place of authority. Some of you didn't realize that's where you're seated. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just lift up your hands for a moment. Hallelujah. Thank Him right now that you're seated with Christ. Hallelujah. When Christ was made alive, you were made alive. When Christ was raised, you were raised. Hallelujah. You are sitting together with Christ in heavenly places. It's done, completed, finished in the eyes of the Father. That's where you are. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we lift our hands to you right now. And Father, we thank you that when Jesus was made alive, I was made alive. I thank you, Lord, that when Jesus was raised, I was raised. I thank you, Lord, that when he sat at your right hand, you sat me there too. Hallelujah. At the right hand of the throne of God. Glory to God. Some Christians say this. They say, well, I like to hang out at the cross. I just want to be at the cross. Well, I'd really rather be on the throne. Amen. I'd really rather be sitting at the right hand on the throne. So we got to move beyond that. We thank God for the cross. We thank God for our salvation. But then we go from glory to glory. So we move beyond and we say, we thank you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and Pentecost. And then we're filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. But did you know you can be saved, filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, and the devil's still walking all over you? You can be an elder in the church. You can be a bishop. You can be an evangelist and still not be able to pay your electric bill. Why? Because you haven't understood the authority that you have in Christ Jesus. That when he was raised, you were raised. And when he was seated in that place of authority, you were seated in that place of authority. And the things that you've been begging Jesus to do, the head cannot do apart from the body. He says, I have given the authority to you. Hallelujah. And if we'll walk in it, and live in it, we'll start to see that change. Hallelujah. In our lives. Let's all stand up to our feet. Glory to God. I got so much more, but no time. That's all right. Amen. Hallelujah. You just have to come back. Amen. And get some more. But let's all lift our hands to the Lord right now. Hallelujah. All over this place. When I preached that one part of my message, I felt it go out of my spirit. Some of you have never said to that addiction in your life, devil, get out of my mind. Get out of my body. Some of you with marriage problems have never spoke to the spirit of strife and division that's attacking your marriage. Some of you that have sickness and disease in your body have never, with the words of your mouth, you've come up for prayer. You've gone to the doctor, but what about the words of your mouth? What about the authority that Jesus has given you? Have you ever spoken to that disease in your body saying, cancer, I command you, come out of my body right now. You don't belong there, by the authority of Jesus' name. I'm going to tell you a story. John Alexander Dowie was a healing evangelist at the turn of the century. Early 1900s, late 1800s, early 1900s. And doctors were amazed at the miracles that happened in his meetings. The doctors couldn't cure this woman. She had a tumor on her head that was the size of another head. And the tumor wrapped around into her mouth. And back then, the way they would destroy these tumors or attack them, pour poison right on them. And they couldn't do that with this lady because the poison would go right into her mouth and kill her. So a group of doctors brought her to John Alexander Dowie. And it's recorded and documented, and people were there to see it. Not just a story, this happened. He grabbed a hold of that tumor. And in the name of Jesus, he said, pulled it off of her head. The doctors were amazed because she had brand new skin on her face. No evidence of a tumor whatsoever. John Alexander Dowie traveled across the ocean many times, 14 times across the ocean by boat. And every time there was a storm that threatened the lives of the people on that boat, every time he spoke to the storm and the storm ceased. Every time. Someone asked him about that. How'd you do that? He said, I just did what Jesus did. You said, what? How does someone even do things like that? Someone who understands their authority. He's no different than you. He's no different than me. Jesus himself did not operate in the miraculous apart from his humanity. The same power that he had, you have. As a matter of fact, next time you come, you're going to see the same power that raised Christ from the dead, you know this verse, dwells in you. It's in you. Imagine if we just had a revelation of that verse. Just that one verse. Father, we lift our hands to you right now. There are people in this room that have never, ever told the devil, or it's been years, maybe it's been months, maybe they have before, but it's been a long time. They haven't spoken in a long time with the words of their mouth. Devil, get off my life. Devil, get out of my family. Go ahead, sir. Go ahead and do it. Devil, get out of my mind. Get out of my body in Jesus' name. I'm going to cut you loose right now in a moment. I'm going to count to three, and I want you to use your authority that you have. We're not waiting for someone to lay hands on us today. You use your authority. Devil, get off of my finances in Jesus' name. I command that drug addiction to leave my body in the name of Jesus. I'm serving the Lord. Use your authority, the authority that Jesus has given you. He has given it to you. The head is waiting for the body. I'm going to count to three. When I do, I tell you, don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. Okay, who cares what the person next to you thinks? Just begin to speak to that thing in your life, that disease, that financial problem, that marriage problem, that problem in your family, in the name of Jesus. One, two, three. Come on. Begin to speak to it in the name of Jesus. Come on. Get nasty with it. Get mean with it. Use your authority. Use your authority. Don't be nice. Don't be nice. Don't be nice. Command that thing to get off your mind, to get out of your body, to get out of your family in the name of Jesus.